Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 5, text 21. Karmavadatam etate gayanti swastriyo muhu kirtim padamapunyam cha kirtayishati puriyam karma activity. Avadatam, without any tinge. Etat, all this. Stay, your. Gayanti, will sing. Swaha, Striyaha, women from the heavenly planets. Muhu, always. Kirtim, glories. Paramapunyam, highly glorified and pious. Cha, also. Kirta Yishyati, will continuously chant. Who, the whole world. Iyam, this. All the blessed women in the heavenly planets will continuously chant about your spotless character at every moment, and the people of this world will also chant your glories continuously. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Evam Sankirtya, Rajanam, Durvasaha, Paritoshitaha, Vihayasa, Amantriya, Brahmalokam, Mohaitukam, Sri Shuku Vacha, Evam Sankirtya Rajanam, Durvasa Paritoshitaha, Yau Vihayasa Mantriya, Evam Sankirtya Rajanam, Durvasa Paritoshitaha, Yo Vihayasa Mantriya,
Sankirtya Rajanam,
Evam Sankirtya Rajanam,
come, now, Lord, come, Lord, come, to come. Thus being satisfied in all respects, the great mystic yogi Dravasa took permission and left, continuously glorifying the king. Through the skyways he went to Brahmaloka, which is devoid of agnostics and dry philosophical speculation. Although Dravasa Muni went back to Brahmaloka through the spaceways, he did not need an airplane, for great mystic yogis can transport themselves from any planet to any other planet without any machine. There's a planet named Siddhaloka, whose inhabitants can go to any other planet because they naturally have all the perfection of yoga practice. Thus, Dravasa Muni, the great mystic yogi, could go through the skyways to any planet, even to Brahmaloka. In Brahmaloka, everyone is self-realized, and thus there is no need of philosophical speculation to come to the conclusion of the absolute truth. Dravasa Muni's purpose in going to Brahmaloka was apparently to speak to the residents of Brahmaloka about how powerful a devotee is and how a devotee can surpass every living entity within this material world. The so-called jnanis and yogis cannot compare to a devotee. Om jnana timirantasya jnananjana shalakaya Chakshurmilitam jena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Sthapitam jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Padam Mayam Tathati Sapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Sri Jatapada Kamalam, Sri Gurun Vaishnavacha, Sri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Jagannatham Yitam Sam Satyam, Sadvaitam Savadrutam, Prajana Saitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padam, Sahagana Yitam, Sri Vishakam Yitam Sam, Hare Krishna Karuna Sindho, Dina Vandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Govika Kanta, Raha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Muni Priye, Vancha Kopitarubhyascha, Kripa Sindho Vyayivacha, Patitanam Pavanevyo, Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Shuku Vacha, Evam Sankirti Rajanam, Drivasa Paritoshita, Yayo Vihayasa Mantriya, Brahmalo Kamaraitukam. Sankirti Rajanam, this was Sankirtan. Durvasa Muni was glorifying the activities of and character of Ambarish Maharaj. So this is also Sankirtan. Sankirtan doesn't mean only chanting the holy name of the Lord, but chanting about the, describing the characteristics of the Lord, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, his associates. So that's also Sankirtan. And glorifying the devotee in terms of his activities, character, and so on, is also Sankirtan. So Durvasa Muni was glorifying Ambarish Maharaj. So Evam Sankirtya Rajan. And Durvasa Paritoshita, he was satisfied and completely. Paritoshita. And Yayo Vihayasa Mantriya Brahmaloka Mohaitukam. He took permission of the king and left Vihayasa by the airways. It appears that the sage had attained the highest level of frequent flyer privileges. He didn't need a plane. No departure tax, no security, no extra baggage charge. He could simply go at will. This will be taken as mythology by mental speculators, but it's understood to be inconceivable potency. Inconceivable potency, Prabhupada said, means you can't do it. The tree eats with its feet. We can't do that. And it produces little capsules of citric acid, all nicely packaged. Lemons, oranges. We can't do that either. Well, how does the tree do it? It's inconceivable for us. The great mathematicians are figuring out things in their head. And some of us can barely perform simple arithmetic. So for me, it's inconceivable potency. The birds are flying. We can't do that. But for them, it's ordinary business. and the hummingbirds can hover in one place. They beat their wings and stand still in the air. Marvelous. The fish stay underwater for their whole lives. For us, a few minutes underwater and we're finished. The starfish grow back their limbs. We can't do that. So there are all sorts of capabilities that individual kinds of living beings are endowed with. And sometimes it may be by birth, sometimes it may be by practice. So Durvasa Muni and all the inhabitants of Siddhaloka. Siddhaloka means everyone is born with it. They're born with these mystic perfections. They don't have to work at it. Here, someone, even here in this world, on earth, there are people who have greater degrees of mystic power. There's been research done in various scientific settings where it's been determined statistically that people can do things like see things that are beyond the realm of their physical vision. They can know things that are in people's minds. They can affect objects without touching them. What else? Well, that's a good enough first start. All of these things are there. Statistically, it's been demonstrated that pretty much everyone has this capability to a tiny extent. So, for example, they'll do a test. There's a machine, and by a random number generator, it makes a wheel go around in this direction with lights. And your job is to make it go the other way by willing it to do so. And over hundreds and hundreds of trials with ordinary people, they get a very small but statistically significant result, which means it's happening. And not only do they get a statistically significant positive result, they get a statistically significant negative result also. That is to say, if you believe in this phenomena, you're more likely to succeed, and if you disbelieve, you're more likely to fail. It should just be flat, no difference. None of this should affect anything, what you believe, what you think, what you will. But they get a statistically significant result. Precognition, that's another one, to know what's going to happen. People, the card guessing games, what card will come up next, and statistically significant, but small but statistically significant, positive results or negative results. That means everybody has mystic powers to a tiny extent. And there are some people who show them to an astonishing extent. In parapsychology, they're called special subjects. People who have a greater ability. But because it's rather subject to fraud and all of that, parapsychologists in more recent years have stuck to statistical studies of ordinary subjects, because then you can't complain about individual instances of fraud except by the experimenter. But still, special subjects are found, people who can do all sorts of things. So when we find it in our experience in this world, then why not a planet where everybody can do it to a greater extent? It's already there. It's already shown to be present, happening here. It's so interesting, in fact, that the United States government, through its intelligence agencies, devoted considerable time and money to research and experiments on the project, on these matters. So So when these things are acknowledged to be or perceived to be happening even on Earth, what is the difficulty in accepting that there can be a planet where everybody is a special subject, where everybody has these powers to a highly developed degree? So Siddha Loka is described here as being such a place. Everyone's born with mystic powers, and therefore they can travel at will, they can they can become lighter than a cotton swab, they can become heavier than a stone, they can become smaller than the smallest, they can become all of these different things, they can create a plan. They're born with the austerities, the eight mystic powers. So it's not a special thing. Siddhaloka. So Durvasa Muni had these powers, and therefore he went to Brahmaloka on a Sankirtan engagement to glorify Maharaj Ambarish. Brahmalokam Ahaitukam. Ahaitukam means where there's no argument, no dry philosophical speculation. In the mundane society, people are fond of arguing over everything, just argument for the sake of argument. And when it comes to matters concerning the ultimate truth, they use the same method to argue, to try to understand everything by logic, by argument, by reason. Hetu means cause or cause and effect. They try to understand everything that way. But that method will not be sufficient. The Targova Pratishta Shruti of Vibhinna, Asad Rishi Rasya, Matam Vibhinna, Tarmasya Tatvam Nitam Guhaya, Nitam Guhaya, Mahajani Tarka Apratishta. By argument, we won't come to a conclusion. One philosopher will have one argument, the next philosopher will come and say, his arguments were quite sophisticated, but, and then he'll give his argument, and the next philosopher comes and says that the previous philosopher really advanced our understanding of the subject, but, blah, 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 blah. So one philosopher's business is to defeat the other philosopher or to come up with a new philosophy, and that generates lots of philosophy, but it doesn't bring us to a conclusion. So Tarka Apratishta. And Shrutiya Vibhinna, there's so many different scriptures, and people read and read and read, and they have interreligious dialogues, and they have esoteric studies and eclectic studies, and they put this together with that, and they compare this with the other thing. And at the end, then they're still nowhere. All they conclude is, wow, there's a lot of books, a lot of different scriptures. But what the conclusion is, they don't know. And Nasav Rishi Rasya Matam Nibinna, that we've already discussed. Every philosopher has to have a different opinion, otherwise he's not a philosopher. Dharmasya Tatvam Nihitam Guhayam. The actual truth is quite hidden. Dharma Sattva Netam Guhaya. Very difficult to ascertain. Mahajana Yena Gata Sapanta. Therefore, one should follow in the footsteps of the Mahajanas and in that way understand. Bahunam Janmanam Ante Ganavan Mam Prabhajita Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sukuru. The Mahajan or Mahatma, finally, is the person who surrenders to Krishna. Bahunam Janmanam Ante. After many, many births of cultivating knowledge, Ganavan, when he actually gets knowledge, Mam Prabhajita, he surrenders to Krishna. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Krishna is everything. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Krishna is everything and includes everything. Swamahatma Sudurlava. He's a rare Mahatma. So if one wants to get true knowledge, one should approach the Mahatma or follow in the footsteps of the Mahatma. And then he can understand what is going on. On Brahmaloka Mahaitukam. They don't have to go through all of this speculation and this, because they've reached the conclusion. Bahunam Janmanamante, Ganavan, after so many births, they're Ganis in perfection. And therefore they've concluded that Krishna is the absolute truth. And they've surrendered. So now there's no need of speculation. Speculation is for those who are in ignorance. I don't know. And therefore, well, maybe this way, maybe that way. You know, where's Harold? Well, maybe it's to the north. Or is it the west? Could be the east. I don't think it's the south. And I'm speculating like that means I don't know. Not knowing means I'm in ignorance. So for the person in ignorance, the speculative method is available, but it will be inconclusive. He'll die speculating without coming to any final understanding. So this is the shortcut method. The Mahajanas have already concluded that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Govinda Madhupurusham Uttamahamadhyam. So if we simply accept it on their authority, we reach the conclusion. Otherwise, you can take the speculative method. We'll start with neti neti. This isn't the truth, that isn't the truth. It can't be this, it can't be that. It's not earth, it's not water, it's not fire, it's not air, it's not ether, it's not this, it's not this. It's not temporary, it's not perishable. It doesn't have a name, it doesn't have a form, it doesn't have a quality, it doesn't have a, it's beyond duality. It's this. And then after many, many births, we'll come to some impersonal conclusion. That beyond this material world is the absolute truth, which has no material form, no quality, no name, no this, that, by negation. Because in our experience, all the things that are not absolute have names, forms, qualities, activities. So we'll come to the conclusion that the absolute must be beyond all those things. Which is correct. But by speculation, we won't come to the personality of Godhead, whose qualities are inconceivable. Pantastu koti satavat sarasam pragamya vayor atapi manaso munipungamana so pyasti yat prapadasim nyavachin chutatya govindamadi purusham tamham. Even if you could travel for millions of years at the speed of air or at the speed of mind or at the speed of Durvasa Muni going to Brahmaloka, still we wouldn't be able to reach the tip of the toe of Govinda. The mind just isn't up to it. The mind is not fit. How will we imagine that the absolute truth is herding cows and running in fear of his mother? These things can't be understood by induction, deduction, reduction, transduction. It has to be understood by hearing from the self-realized person. So Sukadeva Goswami. Dhammi is such a self-realized person, and therefore Parikshit Maharaj is hearing from Shukadeva Goswami. And we're also hearing from Shukadeva Goswami so that we get the benefit. And we're also trying to distribute the words of Shukadeva Goswami to others so that they'll also become fortunate by their own speculative methods. They've created a humbug civilization in which they multiply their miseries. Bahudukapacha. They're trying to make a happy life, and in the process, they make their lives increasingly empty, increasingly meaningless, increasingly nasty. But by hearing from Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, or hearing about Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam, they can be purified. Their intelligence can be purified, their minds can be purified by Sankirtan, Shravanam Kirtan. So this is our job, to distribute the glories of the Lord and the glories of the Lord's devotees, which are appreciated even in Brahmaloka. All right, any questions? Smada Hari Rupa.
Maharaj,
Hare Krishna.
To what extent can an aspiring devotee be considered a special subject?
The aspiring devotees are better than the special subjects.
Special subjects.
Hmm? They're special subjects. Special subject is the sort of technical term for a person who's believed to have an extraordinary degree of mystic power. The telepathy or psychokinesis or precognition, they're called special subjects. But the devotees are far beyond the special. So here the example is there. Durvasa Muni is practically on the highest level of special subjectivity. Any investigator of this world, if he came upon someone like Durvasa Muni who could create a demon from his hair or fly to another planet without any mechanical aid, reach the perfection of research. So Durvasa Muni is among the ultimate special subjects, or on the ultimate level of being a special subject. But he's far surpassed by Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj didn't show any mystic powers, didn't fly anywhere, didn't create any wonderful things from his hair. He didn't show any mystic powers at all. And yet, Durvasa Muni admitted at the end that Ambarish Maharaj is far better than me. Because even the mystic yogis don't reach this point of surrendering to Krishna. Or if they do, then they become. They still have to reach that point of surrendering to Krishna. So Ambarish Maharaj is the real article, the real thing, the real siddha. Yoginam api siddhanam kashchan mam veti tatvata. What is that?
Yoginam
api sarvesham madgatenam tagatma shradhavan vadite yomam sanayutta. Anusyanam Sahasrishim Kastrityat Siddha. Out of thousands of men, one may become Siddha. Right? The inhabitants of Siddha Loka. They have perfection in mystic powers. Anusyanam Sahasrishim Kastrityat Siddha. Yatatam api Siddhanam Kastrityam Veti Tatvata. Out of them, hardly anyone can understand Krishna. So, to be Krishna conscious is higher than any level of mystic perfection. And the person, even the neophyte devotee, is on the highest path. People, we know there are people who try to cultivate mystic powers, either by serious yoga system, Ashtanga yoga, or there are different kinds of exercises that individual teachers have come up with or that parapsychologists have found to be somewhat effective by which a person can increase his hits, you know, his success rate in mystical activities. So they're on that path. And what will they do? They'll guess cards correctly 20% more often. Or they'll bend spoons. What will your spoon dip bending do for you at the time of death? So a person who's chanted Hare Krishna even once surpasses all of these.
Is it possible for a devotee to achieve prema bhakti or bhava bhakti, let's say, and not knowing anything at all, or not having the ability of the Ashta Siddhi? Like,
you don't need the Ashta Siddhis.
Oh, they are there as a byproduct if you want to use them.
They're there, but they're not important. That's not, it's just like irrelevant. It's irrelevant. The great yogic powers that are such a big deal for the ordinary person or for the aspiring yogi, for the devotee, are just not interesting. They're not the point. His point is to say Krishna. He may have mystic powers, not have mystic powers, show them, not show them. It doesn't matter. His perfection is different. So like Prabhupada, he didn't fly in the air by mystic yoga, but he created so many devotees all over the world. And that's a higher level of perfection than just bending a spoon.
Some devotees claim that Prabhupada walked without touching the ground.
Some devotees claim that Srila Prabhupada walked without touching the ground. I guess they saw something I didn't see. Yes.
And there's a statement in Chaitanya Charitamrita that one should not become lazy in discussing the Siddhanta. How does that not? Oftentimes, I experience that can translate into devotees endlessly also arguing, and oftentimes getting into like word readings of certain sentences. Srila Prabhupada said this here. Srila Prabhupada said that there, and it kind of ends up resembling the arguments of the mental speculators back and forth, ad infinitum. So how do we, nourish our discussion with Siddhanta without slipping into sort of mundane back and forth argument?
How do we nourish our understanding of Siddhanta without slipping into mundane arguments? Of course, our method is that we quote from authority, we do research, Goswami's Nana Shastra Vichara Nekupanohi, looking. looking through all the shastras and picking up evidence for the shastric conclusions. So we also do that, but we have to be guided by the acharyas. What is useful and what is useless? What is useful and what is useless? That we have to learn from the bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, we find very often people who don't have a bona fide spiritual master, they're busy on the internet arguing about this and that because there's no one to tell them. Get off it. Go out there and distribute some books, will you? Do something useful. If you have a spiritual master, he can say, what is this nonsense? What are you doing? Why are you wasting your time? Without a spiritual master, I'm doing something very important. And sometimes even we have a bona fide spiritual master, but we don't discriminate very well. We should be a little thoughtful and try to see how our energy will best be used. Try to see the trap of endless, useless argument. It's Maya's trick. What is that? Some bottom. It's in the fourth canto. Do someone know?
Sixth canto, chapter 4. Sixth canto, chapter 4,
in
verse
31. No.
Six, four,
really?
Six, four.
Vadinam Maya. Someone has an internet connection that can database it. Body and body. Samba.
Yeah. Yap chaktayo vadatan vadinam vai vivada sambada bubo bhavanti kurvanti chai shamur atma moham tasmai namo nam kipunaya bhune.
What, where is it?
6431.
6431. Nowhere near fourth canto. Okay, meaning?
Translation. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, who possesses unlimited transcendental qualities. Acting from within the cores of the hearts of all philosophers who propagate various views, he causes them to forget their own souls, while sometimes agreeing and sometimes disagreeing among themselves. Thus, he creates within this material world a situation in which they are unable to come to a conclusion. I offer my obeisances unto him.
By Krishna's energy, he guides these mental speculators within the heart. Now use this argument. Now use that argument. There's a hole in his logic. Go get him. So sometimes he wins, sometimes he loses, sometimes he's brilliant, sometimes he defeats everyone. But sometimes he agreed, the scholars agree, sometimes they disagree. But what they don't realize is that they're wasting their lives. Maya pratigyana, that Maya has stolen their intelligence and is dictating to them from within. Now argue this way, now argue that way, now argue about this, now argue about that. They're so busy jousting that their whole life passes away without any profit. Kind of like sports, you know, people are, they're doing this play, they're doing that play, they're catching it this way, they're throwing it that way, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're betting on this, they're betting on that. People are cheering and people are booing and people are... And what they don't realize is that they're in this way, they've been engaged by the illusory energy to waste their human form of life. it's there, you know. Within every religious tradition, there's some scope for that. There's a, you take the words of the sages, or the rabbis, or the imams, or whoever it is, the lamas. You take the words of the scripture, and then you sit down and say, well, what are we supposed to make of this? That's called commentary. So that's not wrong. You don't say, no, you shouldn't spend, you know, better to spend your time that way than to be engaged in discussing nonsense. So that's there. There's scope for that, to discuss different scriptures, to discuss different questions about spiritual life. But finally, one should come to the conclusion that what's useful is what increases our love for God. That would be the perfection of our religious activity. Dharma sunistita purusam vishvakshena katasuya. If we simply speculate and we don't develop our love for God, then we waste our time.
But if it, this process of like a family career becomes, like that becomes a spiritual activity in itself, and that connects you to God.
Nana Shastra Vichadane is to discuss, to probe into the scriptures and find out what they're saying, and to discuss different possible meanings. Is accepted as a spiritual activity. We also do that. Prabhupada said we should study Srimad Bhagavatam threadbare. Prabhupada was reading Bhagavatam in, I think, 11 different commentaries. Different acharyas will say different things, illuminating things from different points of view. So, in principle, devotees who do what with the deities?
They have
exchanges.
Special, with the yeah, relationship that the deities speak to them, or they have this realization and they disclose it.
What's your question?
When devotees have some realization, or the deities are speaking to them and they disclose it to others.
Devotees have some realization that deities are speaking to them, and they disclose it to others. Of course, the deities are speaking to everyone. That's Bhagavad Gita. But someone experiences that the deity is personally telling me something, and that's all right. You should see that what the deity is telling him is confirmed by the shastras and the spiritual master. Otherwise, you know, the deity told me to rob a bank, the deity told me to dance naked and trip Alder Square, the deity told me to do so many things. So, you know, any madman can be told by the deity, God told me to do it. And history is full of madmen who have been told by God to do this or that. So, it's all right. The especially advanced devotee or any devotee may be told by the deity something. But then what you should see that what I believe I've been told is consistent with the words of the spiritual master and the shastra. And generally those who are spoken to by the deity are not eager to advertise their good fortune. Madhavendra Puri, the deity didn't speak to him, but spoke to the pujari, that this Madhavendra Puri is, I've kept some sweet rice for him. He was thinking, what is the sweet rice like? I'd like to taste it, to see, so that I could offer it to my deity. So then the deity while Pujari was sleeping, the deity came to him in a dream. There was someone in the marketplace, Madhavendra Puri, and you find him because I've kept some cheers, some sweet rice for him in such and such place. So the Pujari woke up and he took bath and went and saw in the deity room that actually the sweet rice had been kept in the place as the dream had told him. Then he went out to the marketplace. If anyone is Madhavendra Puri, you're the most fortunate person. Gopinath has reserved this share for you. So then Madhavendra Puri accepted, but he had once left town. He didn't stay in that place, Rimuna, to bask in the glory that would ensue. He left. Because it's not the nature of a devotee to want to be glorified or have his good fortune advertised. And what to speak of advertising it himself. You know what Krishna told me? Guess who spoke to me this morning? Generally, the devotees keep these things a little confidential. Mm-hmm.
If you do tell the divinity from close...
I'm sorry, my hearing's not that great, and you're not that loud.
If you do reveal such reciprocations, the close devotees, will Krishna stop reciprocating with you? If you reveal it to someone?
That's up to Krishna. If you have some exchange with the deity and you tell and reveal it, will he stop? That is up to him.
With regard to absolute truth and reality, it can be proved very simply by a very simple experiment that with our limited senses, all we are capable of is perception, not reality. And in fact, there are examples, two notable examples in Mahabharata, where we find that, for example, Lord Indra and Vishwadeva, they are both disciples of Krishna himself. And yet, when Vishwadeva was about to leave his body, somebody asked him, okay, Maharaj, what is the truth? Can you tell me? I forgot to test it, but I can tell you in Bengali what the answer was. Shaktavuli Pavidata, Sheshadeki Mitkatam, Jabdarshan Naike, Shekhidam. That means, what I thought to be true and perfect in the morning, in the evening of my life, I find that it's not true at all. But who can change the tide of time in the evening of my life? I cannot. So the subtext was that don't ask me such questions because I don't know. Question, if that is the case, how is it that Krishna's own disciple did not know that his guru himself was the absolute truth?
How is it that Krishna's own disciple didn't know that Krishna himself is the absolute truth? I'm not conversant with the pastimes from Mahabharata. Big book. But we find that Krishna's intimate associates forget. Arjuna, in the 11th chapter, Asatkatosi, I committed so many offenses. Shayasana Bhojaneshu, what is that? Tihara Shayasana Bhojaneshu. While speaking and playing around and eating together, resting together, I treated you like an ordinary person. Mahimanam Tavedam, what is that? A Janata Mahiman Mahimanam Devam. Maya Pramadat Pranayena Vahi. Ajanata, not knowing Mahimanam, your glories. Maya Pramadat, please excuse what I may have done. Pramadat Pranayena Vahi, out of madness or out of love. Saketi matva prasapam yudhutam. I addressed you as my friend. Don't go up to the deity and say, hey buddy, would you tell me my dear friend? Your personality of God. Yatchava hasartam asat kutosi vihara shayasana bhutam. Eko tavapya chuta tatsamaksham takshami etam. Now I see that you're unlimited. Please forgive me for all my offenses. Arjuna was also the disciple of Krishna, or friend of Krishna, deep intimate associate of Krishna, devotee of Krishna. But here he said, I didn't know. I thought you were my friend. I thought you were our family member. So that's called yoga maya asana. Yogamaya conceals the Lord from the non-devotees entirely, and to the devotees, sometimes reveals and sometimes conceals also. How will Yashoda Mayi chase Krishna if she has in mind that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, the Master of all the demigods, so many things? So Yogamaya acts to conceal that. So sometimes even Krishna's intimate devotees, most advanced devotees, don't realize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or they forget that Krishna is the Supreme Personality.
Even in the case of Arjuna, for example, Krishna revealed himself as in his universal form, just to inform him that he was the Absolute Truth.
Yes. Jonathan.